If you have your Bible, please turn with me to the book of Ruth. And we are actually going to read through a little over half of this book together. So I hope that you're here in all of your glory and attentiveness. Just kick your feet up, relax. I've never just read through this much of a book on a Sunday morning before, but this is, I just could not get away from this. This is what the Lord put on my heart for us to do today. The topic is dealing with bitterness, also known as the problem with persimmons. And if you know anything much about persimmons, you probably know where I'm going with that. But we're just going to take some time to ask God to speak into our hearts, directly into our hearts, as only He can do. So let's pray and ask Him to do that. Almighty God, I feel very inadequate and awkward and humbled to be standing in front of other people talking about your word. But God, how I thank you for your promise. You said that you would send us your Holy Spirit, and you said that he would be our teacher and that he would guide us into all the truth. And so, Lord, we ask you to do that this morning with this issue of bitterness. It can be very bitter. And so we just pray that you would minister to us through this priceless book and a wonderful family way back there so many years ago in the Old Testament times. Just minister to us, Lord. Teach us. Say the things that only you can say to each heart, I pray. In Christ's name, amen. All right, so you probably know the story. But we're just going to read through it together, and I'll comment briefly. We're going to get through about half of chapter 3 or a little more, and then I want to talk about just some thoughts from it. So anyhow, here we go. Ruth chapter 1, verse 1. Now it came about in the days when the judges governed that there was a famine in the land. And a certain man of Bethlehem in Judah went to sojourn in the land of Moab, with his wife and his two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi, and the name of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem in Judah. Now they entered the land of Moab and remained there. Then Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left with her two sons. So life can be bitter, right? I've never, obviously, lost a wife, thank God. I have lost a dad and two brothers and a mom, and it's challenging, right? And so here Naomi is going through something very challenging. Her husband dies in a foreign land. Verse 3, then Elimelech, Naomi's husband, verse 4. Naomi's husband died, and she had her two sons left. Verse 4, they took for themselves Moabite women as wives. The name of the one was Orpah, the name of the other Ruth. And they lived there about 10 years. Then both Mahlon and Chilion also died, and the woman was bereft of her two children and her husband. Okay, I have never lost a son or a daughter. So I cannot imagine what Naomi is going through. You know, I think, after we're married and have children, I think they are even closer to us than our parents often. I know in my life that was the case. I was very close with my family, but with my wife and four children, wow, so much closer. So I cannot imagine that loss. But bitterness can take many forms. We can lose a lot of different things in life. Okay, so I just feel like maybe God wants to minister to us in a lot of different ways through this. So verse 6, then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the land of Moab. For she had heard in the land of Moab that the Lord had visited his people in giving them food. So she departed from the place where she was and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on the way to return to the land of Judah. And Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, go, return, each of you, to her mother's house. May the Lord deal kindly with you, as you have dealt with the dead and with me. May the Lord grant that you may find rest, each in the house of her husband." Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voices and wept. So here are these two daughter-in-laws going through all of this pain with Naomi. And you know, they're crying. They're with her. They're feeling it. And she's giving them permission to go back and choose another husband. Verse 10, they said to her, "No, but we will surely return with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Return, my daughters. Why should you go with me? Have I yet sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? Return, my daughters. Go, for I am too old to have a husband. If I said I have hope, if I should even have a husband tonight and also bear sons, would you therefore wait until they were grown? Would you therefore refrain from marrying? No, my daughters, for it is harder for me than for you, for the hand of the Lord has gone forth against me." Ever feel like that in life? Ever feel like, man, God's just not on my side today? You know, it's been a hard year. It's been a hard 5 years. I just cannot believe what I have gone through. And of course, the Bible does tell us that God allows things in our lives. I don't believe that He does them all, that He personally does them, but He does allow things in our lives. But just one thought before we read on here. Remember that He also promises with the difficult things in our lives that He's going to take those things and use them to create a masterpiece in us. That the finished product is going to come out incredible. Absolutely incredible. But you can see how much pain Naomi is in with that statement. Pick it up with me in verse 14. They lifted up their voices and wept again. Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. Then she said, "Behold, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and her gods. Return after your sister-in-law." But Ruth said, "Do not urge me to leave you or turn back from following you. For where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. Thus may the Lord do to me, and worse, if anything but death parts you and me." Wow. Wow. So Ruth made that decision all on her own, just her and the Lord. And to me, it just seems like such an encouraging thing that you see God beginning to bring support into Naomi's life for all the pain that she had been through. And when we go through hard things, I am absolutely 100% convinced that God is immediately extending His hand and working to bring things into our lives to support us, strengthen us, and carry us through that pain. So Ruth decides to go with her, and that's really exciting. Keep going in verse 19. So they both went until they came to Bethlehem. And when they had come to Bethlehem, all the city was stirred because of them. And the women said, "Is this Naomi?" She said to them, "Do not call me Naomi. Call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. Why do you call me Naomi, since the Lord has witnessed against me and the Almighty has afflicted me?" So here you can just see the real intensity of Naomi's pain. The name Naomi means pleasant. And so she's like, "Don't call me that anymore. Call me Mara." Mara literally means bitter. I looked up the word bitter in the dictionary. For the last several weeks, I've been kind of studying this, and I was kind of surprised at the definition. I'm not going to take the time to read it to you. It's quite long. It's one of the longest definitions you'll see in the dictionary. It starts off talking about bitter food, how the taste is bitter. And then it moves into talking about how bitterness can mean bitter life experiences, hard things that you go through. You know, your boyfriend breaks up with you. You know, whatever other bitter experiences. And then it goes from that even into how we can personally become bitter. Right? These hard things have weighed so much on our mind that has just dragged us down, and we've become hard, discouraged, depressed, very difficult people to be around. And I don't know if that's entirely where Naomi was yet, but that's what she says, right? Call me Mara. She felt like what she had been through had really affected her. All right, so she's just being honest. I think that's important for us too. You know, when hard things happen in our lives, denying them is not the right course of action, right? And so we need to admit those things, I believe, even to one another. You know? You seem to say, I've been through some hard stuff. I'm hurting. And this is what Naomi's doing here, telling them, I believe, probably telling the Lord, man, Lord, I'm hurting. Okay? Very, very important. Anyhow, keep going, verse 22. So Naomi returned, and with her Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, who returned from the land of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem at the beginning of the barley harvest. All right? So it's been all summer long. The barley came up. It was beautiful green fields. Now it's turned golden brown. All the moisture has gone out of the grain, and it's just time to harvest the barley. Chapter 2. Now Naomi had a kinsman of her husband, a man of great wealth of the family of Elimelech. Okay, her husband's name was Elimelech, whose name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabitess said to Naomi, please, let me go to the field and glean among the ears of grain, after one in whose sight I may find favor. And she said to her, go, my daughter. Now, in case you're not familiar with gleaning, this was God's way of providing for the poor in the Old Testament. Okay, they didn't have welfare. The government did not send them a check, okay, if they were poor. God had established another way to provide for the poor. He said, when you go out and harvest your field, don't clean it up every spick and span, every little kernel of grain. You know, if something falls out of your hand, just let it go and leave it for the poor. And allow the poor to come in behind you after your harvest and glean. Okay, so that's what Ruth is asking if she can do, because they don't have anything. She's not a man. It was a very much a man's society. They were in a hard spot. All right, so go and let me glean. And Naomi says, go for it. Verse 3. So they departed and went. So she departed and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And she happened to come to the portion of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the family of Elimelech. Now behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said to the reapers, may the Lord be with you. And they said to him, may the Lord bless you. Love those greetings, right? I think we ought to make that a habit. When we meet each other out in the town of Louisa, may the Lord be with you, right? What a cool greeting. And they said, may the Lord bless you. Verse 5, then Boaz said to his servant, who was in charge of the reapers, whose young woman is this? The servant in charge of the reapers replied, she's the young Moabite woman who returned with Naomi from the land of Moab. And she said, please let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. Thus she came and has remained from the morning until now. She's been sitting in the house for a little while. All right, so Boaz notices her. Now, I don't know if he thought she was pretty or if it was just extremely rare for there to be ones who would come and glean. But he notices her. He asks about her. And so here's what he does, verse 8. Then Boaz said to Ruth, listen carefully, my daughter. Do not go to glean in another field. Furthermore, do not go on from this one, but stay here with my maids. Let your eyes be on the field which they reap, and go after them. Indeed, I have commanded the servants not to touch you. When you are thirsty, go to the water jars and drink from what the servants draw. Okay, interesting. You know, just because God established a plan to provide for the poor doesn't necessarily mean everyone's on board, right? She probably could have very easily ended up in a field where there was some selfish, angry person who wanted every scrap of grain out of that field. And so Boaz is saying to her, listen, we're going to look out for you here. Commanded the servants not to touch you. I want you to stay right here in this field. And as I read these words, one of the things that just struck me is how, you know, God, I believe, wants to provide for us in life, not only when times are great, but when we are going through very bitter things. And so I think that God is constantly saying to us, listen, don't go wandering off in somebody else's field. Okay, don't look for help in the wrong places. Don't look for hope in the wrong places. God wants to provide for us, and I am so convinced that it's just crucial, it's so important for us to stay in His Word, for us to stay with Christian people, and not wander off into the wrong place where we could very easily get into trouble, come under wrong influences, and things could get even worse. But he encourages her, you know, go get some water out of the water jars that my servants have drawn. Verse 10, then she fell on her face, bowing to the ground, and said to him, why have I found favor in your sight that you should take notice of me, since I am a foreigner? Boaz replied to her, all that you have done for your mother-in-law after the death of your husband has been fully reported to me, and how you left your father and your mother in the land of your birth and came to a people that you did not previously know. May the Lord reward your work and your wages be full from the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to seek refuge. What great advice for us. Just put yourself under God's care. Look for your answers to life in His Word. Ask wise people, ask godly people, and God, I think, will bless you and bring you out of the hard times that you are in. Verse 14, at mealtime, Boaz said to her, come here that you may eat of the bread and dip your piece of bread in the vinegar. So she sat beside the reapers and he served her roasted grain and she ate and was satisfied and had some left. When she rose to glean, Boaz commanded his servant, saying, let her glean even among the sheaves and do not insult her. Also, you shall purposely pull out some grain from the bundles and leave it that she may glean, and do not rebuke her. So she gleaned in the field until evening. Then she beat out what she had gleaned, okay, got rid of all the straw and the chaff and everything, and it was about an epah of barley. She took it up and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned. She also took it out and gave Naomi what she had left after she was satisfied, left over from lunch. She gave food to her mother-in-law. Her mother-in-law then said to her, where did you glean today and where did you work? May he who took notice of you be blessed. So she told her mother-in-law with whom she had worked and said, the name of the man with whom I work today is Boaz. Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, may he be blessed of the Lord, who has not withdrawn his kindness to the living and to the dead. A lot of blessing going on here, right? As we reach out to help and encourage one another, it brings that out of us, that gratitude, you know, that we can support one another and become a blessing to one another. The middle of verse 20, again Naomi said to her, the man is our relative. He is one of our closest relatives. Then Ruth the Moabitess said, furthermore, he said to me, you should stay close to my servants until they have finished all my harvest. Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, it is good, my daughter. that you go out with his maids so that others do not fall upon you in another field. So she stayed close by the maids of Boaz in order to glean until the end of the barley harvest and the wheat harvest, and she lived with her mother-in-law. All right, so here's a sweet young girl serving. You know, wow, hard to find people who will serve like that, right? Wherever you go, it's where I'm going to go. Your God's going to be my God. Your people are going to be my people. And she just goes and serves her mother-in-law faithfully all summer, all season long, just going and reaping the grain. All right, so you can just imagine how Naomi and Ruth's relationship is growing as they have found strength and support in one another. All right, keep going with me in chapter 3. How you doing? Everybody, we're doing all right? Excellent. Here we go. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, "My daughter, shall I not seek security for you, that it may be well with you? Now, is not Boaz our kinsman with whose maids you were? Behold, he winnows barley at the threshing floor tonight." Winnowing barley meant now they're taking the sheaves and they're beating the grain out of them. Okay, we have these giant threshing machines that do it all for us now. But they had to take the tall sheaves and just beat them to death over, you know, some sort of sieve or whatever until all the grain was worked out of it. And that's what it means by them winnowing barley. "Wash yourself, therefore, and anoint yourself, put on your best clothes, and go down to the threshing floor. But do not make yourself known to the man until he has finished eating and drinking. It shall be when he lies down that you shall notice the place where he lies, and you shall go and uncover his feet and lie down. Then he will tell you what you should do." She said to her, "All that you say, I will do." Kind of strange activity, right? God not only had a plan to provide for the poor, but he had a plan to provide for people who had lost their husband, because it was such a male society. And so the plan was that the nearest of kin, they're calling them, he's our kinsman, the closest of kin, would invite that woman who had lost her husband into his home and provide for her, care for her, and even potentially have children with her so that her children could grow up and inherit the property that they owned and that her children could provide for her in her old age. Okay, this was God's plan of how to provide for them in the Old Testament. And so that's really what Naomi is encouraging Ruth to do. But such a fascinating way that she did it. Keep reading with me in verse 6. "So she went down to the threshing floor and did according to all that her mother-in-law had commanded her. When Boaz had eaten and drunk and his heart was merry, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of grain. And she came secretly and uncovered his feet and lay down. It happened in the middle of the night that the man was startled and bent forward. And behold, the woman was lying at his feet." Imagine his feet got cold. He went to sleep. She uncovered them. The middle of the night, he's like, "Whoa!" And he bends over, and there she is. Interesting. Verse 9, he said to her, "Who are you?" It's dark, right? "Who are you?" And she answered, "I am Ruth, your maid." So here's our key verse for today. "I am Ruth, your maid. So spread your covering over your maid, for you are a close relative." Now, those words, close relative, could literally be translated, "You are a kinsman redeemer. Spread your covering over your maid, for you are a kinsman redeemer." And she, Boaz was what God provided for her and for Naomi after all the loss that they went through. Now, I'm not going to take the time to read the rest of the book. I hope you will, because it's a beautiful, beautiful story about how this man goes out and takes care of this thing, and life turns around for Ruth and for Naomi, and they end up being in the line of King David. And the child that Ruth bears, is it Jesse? Obed, Jesse's dad, who is David's dad. So they end up being in the line of the Messiah. God provides for them. And so for us, this is what God's been speaking to me about, putting on my heart regarding dealing with bitterness. You know, we go through bitter things in life. Sometimes I don't think there's any way to not be affected by those things that are so hard in our lives. You know, they hit us, and there's so much pain that comes with them that sometimes it just begins to affect us. But God's answer is, I believe that we can say to Him, spread your covering over your servant, over your maid, because you are a kinsman redeemer. And that's what the Lord Jesus Christ is for us. He's our kinsman redeemer. He's our rock. He's our strong tower. He's the one that the Bible, all throughout the Bible, challenges over and over and over and over again. Run to Him. Run to the rock who is higher than you. So just a couple of quick other thoughts about this. I know you might say, listen, how does this help me now? I have a lot of pain right now. And I don't know if anyone here is just going through one of those things or not. But I have a lot of pain. How does this help me now? A few of the things that I have been through. One thing I have noticed. When I get to a place in my life where there is nothing I can do to fix it, and then I have to go to the Lord and I say, okay, Lord, I am done. There is absolutely nothing that I can do. You're my only hope, my only encouragement in this situation. That's when I feel Him go into action more than any other time. And that's when I feel Him change my heart more than any other time. You see, pain is painful, but it also causes growth if we respond to it correctly and give our hearts to the Lord. It causes growth, and nothing can make you grow like pain can make you grow. I'll read you a verse here. This is from James chapter 1. Consider it all joy, brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. Okay, it's one of those verses that just makes you go, huh? What did he just say? Let me read it again. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. That word could be translated, so that you may be mature and complete, lacking in nothing. So on the farm that I grew up on, which is not very far from here, down a little bit from the pond, we had this beautiful little persimmon tree. Okay? Trunk was, I think, about this big around. And it was about 12 feet high. And had the most beautiful little persimmons on it you could imagine. Well, my brothers had all kinds of fun with this. And, of course, one of the very first things they did when I got old enough was they had to take me down to persimmon tree. And they said, Sam, you have got to try one of these. And I'm like, okay. So I took a pretty good little bite. Oh, my goodness. If you have not done it, you need to do it just for the experience. But it is bitter. If you have not done it, it is bitter, and it will literally suck the life right out of your mouth. I mean, your mouth goes, and you're like, what is happening to me? I cannot believe this. Well, the problem with persimmons is you just have to get the timing right. And sometimes you have to wait a little bit longer for them to mature. And then they are delicious. They are so sweet and so delicious. And so I just want to encourage you in your life. Sometimes it's just you just got to wait a little bit longer because God is doing His work. And it is a beautiful, beautiful picture that He is creating. And you are going to come out so sweet. And you're just going to be so amazed at what you're like when you stand in front of Him one day. Because the Bible says, when we see Him, we will be like Him. Wow. You're going to be amazed. It's going to be you, really mature. Please pray together with me. Well, Lord, we just thank You for being who You are. A God that has an amazing plan, a God who is so patient with us, who never gives up on us, a Lord who came in search of us and gave Your very life for us. Thank You, Lord, that You are not done in our lives. You're still doing Your perfect, beautiful, and timely work. And so, Lord, today, with all of our hearts, we just say amen to that. We just want to wait, Lord. We want to be patient. We want to allow You to have our hearts and do all that You desire. We pray for that to take place. Lord, we pray in the meantime as we go through painful things, Lord, that You'll help us not to go astray, not to go looking in the wrong places. Lord, help us to keep our eyes on You. My eyes are on You.